Yvonne.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? So, there I was practicing Google Food this morning, which means typing things into Google and seeing what pops out. And oh my goodness, I ran down a rabbit hole.
Google Foo?
It's called Google Foo, yes.
Like Kung Fu?
Like Kung Fu. Yes. So I decided, we've done a number of shows on visualization, right? Envision the outcome you want, stay focused on it, and you can avoid falling into the ditches. But I was like, but what about negative virtualization? No, visualization.
You purposely sought, you sought after negative visualization?
Yes.
Why?
Because I have this nasty habit of doing negative visualization. I see all possible outcomes just so I'm prepared for all outcomes. But oftentimes I spend time, and this I think is the key, dwelling on negative outcomes.
Are you Persian? I think that's what I've done all my life.
I think that's what people tend to do, right?
I didn't even think that I, until you just voiced it, I never thought I did that.
Right.
E.
So anyways, this actually even has a bastardized Latin translation for negative virtualization. It's pretty tight.
What?
Futurorum? Mal meaning evil, malorum pre meditatio.
Is
almost like
meditation?
Premeditated negative futures is okay. What it kind of
that
translates into, right?
That makes sense.
And it turns out those dang Greeks.
Why are you saying it like that?
They invented this.
What do you mean they invented it? They studied it, maybe.
Not unlike My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where they seem to have invented Facebook and everything else, they invented negative visualization in the 4th century BCE.
What's BCE again?
See, we got all politically correct.
Never mind. Okay, just go ahead.
But anyways, it's before the Common Era is what it stands for.
Now, that's what it stands
for.
So
it's what are we, 2020, whatever. And then minus that, minus four. That's how many years ago. So like
minus that minus four?
Never mind.
Never mind. It's another subject. No, it's okay. I'm sorry. I won't ask questions.
So there was a bunch of guys running around. They called themselves Stoic.
And Stoic, this is the Greeks, right?
Yes. The Stoic was a whole like philosophical bent. And nowadays we say somebody is Stoic if they like never show their emotions and
stiff
they're
upper lip.
Even keeled and stiff upper lipped and doesn't matter what happens, it won't affect them.
Right. So these were Stoics.
So that's what Stoicism has turned into, but Stoicism didn't start there. But basically, if you are properly Stoic, yes, you tend to act that way.
So what were these Stoics like?
Man, they crazy.
What?
So they believed in four virtues, wisdom.
No, hold on. Are you going to go through the four virtues?
Wisdom, courage, moderation, and justice. Great. Sounds good. One of their chief ways of looking at things was doing negative visualizations. What? So they would spend time every day thinking over everything that can be turned upside down in their lives. What? Well, this flies in the face of everything we've been thinking about. And
what you focus on grows.
What you focus on grows. Exactly. How many times have we said that?
Well, yeah.
However, the mind has a nasty habit of focusing on negative things.
Why does it do that? To keep you out of danger, but...
It's an interesting thought.
But why? Why even do that? Why not focus on the good instead?
Right.
Why does the mind do that?
And why is it like when something good happens, we're like, cool, something good happened. If something bad happens, we dwell. We think about it over and over and over and over again.
maybe that's what we're here for, is to, maybe we're like super athletes that are down here, that are here, that maybe we choose, you know, there's a thought that you choose these hard lives, you choose hardship to evolve as a soul. So maybe that's why. Maybe you're like, yeah, this feat, this thing I'm doing, this thing that I did, or maybe you're relishing in it on a soul level in a way, maybe. I don't know. You know, I used to know, I felt like, but now I'm like, what is happening? I don't know. Why do you think?
That's actually one of the gates of wisdom is actually figuring out that you really don't know anything, which is a fun kind of Zen moment in people's lives when they realize that everything they thought they knew, they don't necessarily really know.
Well, maybe we should just live our lives and take vacations.
And there you go. Spoken as a true hedonist. Well done.
But we'd never take a vacation, honey. Can we take a vacation? Like, figure it out? All we do is move.
What are you talking about? We've had a nice long, like, four whole days.
You had 2 days off plus a weekend we normally get. You guys did. I'm always doing something.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm complaining. yeah, maybe we should just, I don't know. Go ahead.
Anyways, the Stoics also gave us that wonderful, virtuous carpe diem, which is seize the day, and its parallel, which is memento mori, which I've actually seen written in a cemetery. Remember, you must die.
Lovely.
Welcome to negative virtualization, right? Woohoo. So, wow, this is quite the hole I've managed to dig myself in now.
What's wrong with you today? Why? What is this?
Well, there's a couple things going on here. Number one is,
are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay.
It's actually interesting because when you start really taking a look at establishing a practice of negative virtualization, that's a computer term, visualization, it's not about never dwelling on the negative. Wow, there's a lot of knots in that sentence. It's about choosing the time to dwell on the negative.
What time is a good time to focus on the negative?
Well, Seneca, who was a Stoic way back when, said first thing in the morning or late at night.
First thing in the morning,
early
concentrate
morning,
on the negative?
Or late at night. But then you stop.
So first thing in the morning,
first
you're
thing
like,
in the morning.
Negative.
Yeah, there's, yay, let's go day. Now let's contemplate my own death.
What?
Crazy, right?
Okay,
go But ahead. The trick is it ends after a period of time you stop.
Maybe it's just getting it out of the way. Maybe your mind naturally does that, so you're allowing it to do that.
Maybe.
Maybe you're treating it as a guest, like, here you go, have some food.
Right.
Now, there you go. Maybe you're not satiated. What's the word? When you're satisfied.
Yeah, satiated. Hmm. Yeah.
Are you satiating that negative tendency? Tendency?
And that is an interesting
thought. Is that the word?
What actually the Stoics really want you to walk away with is a sense of gratitude that all of these terrible negative things that you're visualizing haven't happened.
It kind of makes sense because since all the terrible stuff happened and all, you know, and I shouldn't say, well, I have trouble speaking the last few months. Have you all noticed? I apologize. I feel like I've taken our show downhill. What I was going to say is I'm going to stop saying the terrible things that happened to us a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't turn terrible. Like, yes, terrible things happened, but we had miracles happen after that, meaning you're alive, Matt.
Right.
But it's still, I can't stop thinking about all the stuff that happened.
And that's the key, is you stop at a certain time. So you give.
But every day I think about it.
I know.
And I get really scared. And then I think, thank goodness that we're not in a hospital.
Right. And there you go.
Thank goodness that I can just be in our home and not be forced to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's a healthy way to live.
Oh, that is interesting.
I don't know. Is that what the Stoics were saying?
Well, the Stoics, if you ask them, is the glass half full or half empty, which is the common kind of, are you an optimist or a pessimist? The Stoic would say, I'm just glad there's a glass at all. They talk about it as almost being a casual indifference to things.
Good for them. I can't do that.
And they talk about how it desensitizes yourself to the negative, and it helps with your psychological fitness, which sounds an awful lot like, what was that term everybody kept talking about? Not fortitude, but resilience.
Resilience.
It helps with resilience.
Okay. What did you just say? What was that term? Psychological
fitness.
Oh, guaranteed, Matt. That's going to be the new term, like self-care. Psychological fitness. Did you make that up?
No.
Did the Stoics make it up?
I don't know. Stoics made up a whole lot of stuff.
I like that, though.
I seem to be
psychological fitness.
I seem to be agreeing with an awful lot of.
You know, I have never really heard that word until just now, and it makes me think, like, ever since I was a kid, I've had these horrible thoughts, like, you know, like hardships, mental, like, like grief, you know? And I always think, oh, man, if this other person had my mind, they wouldn't survive. Like, I'm more fit, I feel like, mentally.
Right.
Because I'm able to handle all these, I don't know what you call them. Some would say gifts, you know, like being intuitive or picking up on other people, being at a grocery store and feeling someone else in the next aisle. I think if most people felt what I'm feeling, they would go crazy. So I always feel like I perhaps have more of an athletic kind of system.
Right.
That's stronger to handle whatever.
I totally
get it. So psychological fitness.
Psychological fitness.
Tripping on that.
Now, it's interesting. So, okay, great. So, So what does this mean on a day-to-day basis? Well, a modern-day Stoic, because unfortunately Stoic writings got all fragmented and weirded and a million things, and nobody knows what the actual like routine and practice of it is. But the modern-day Stoic would say, you're not going to dwell every day on death and destruction and terror. Every day, you're going to focus on some kind of daily inconvenience. Like the daily inconveniences, like, oh my God, my favorite coffee place is closed. They're remodeling. And how that would affect you. So it's like, well, if that place was closed, I guess I wouldn't have coffee. Or maybe I'd drive, you know, an extra 10 minutes down the street and I would go to a different coffee place.
Why do you think these modern people are making it that way? Why are they messing
with
it?
Hold on, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Okay. Then a couple of times a week, you meditate on loss. And then maybe once a week, maybe far, far less frequently, you actually meditate on a major setback.
Does that mean that you really focus on a major setback, or you acknowledge that the setback happened?
No, it's not past tense. This is all future.
It's all future?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's
all the things that might happen, which, wow, your brain starts to spiderweb all over the place at that point, doesn't it?
Well,
but
I
that's
don't know.
Why you start with tiny, you start with the little daily inconvenience and you go through a couple of those.
Can we equate it to driving? So let's say we're driving on a road. Let's say we're on a road going up a mountain or going down a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
One side has a cliff you can fall down on into. So you think, you always, I mean, do other people think this way? But I'm driving and I see the car maybe like flipping over and flying off the road and crashing down into the crevice, right? So that keeps me on the road. That keeps me more focused on like, I better keep us safe. So is that maybe the reason to think about the negative, to visualize it? So you don't go that way, do you think?
I think it's, again, it's to build your psychological fitness, desensitize you on some level to the things that occur in the course of a day, and to fill you with a sense of gratitude when these things do not happen or have not happened.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, if you're envisioning, oh, my favorite coffee place is closed and I can't get coffee, and you do get coffee, you're eminently grateful that you could. Because this is the problem in a consumer society, is that, you know, oh, we lust after something, which they talk about too as being future desire, as being not necessarily a bad thing, but I lust after, you know, a shopping trip, or I lust after a, you know, an album, or I lust after a new show about to start, right?
The perfect house, the nice car.
Exactly. Everything we do, right? But then once we have it, do we appreciate it for a bit? But they would have you bring that practice into daily life and appreciate all things that you have always. And eventually your lust turns into those things you already have, which is fascinating.
Explain that. So your lust becomes the things that you already have.
Yeah, you want the things that you have.
Got it. Yeah, I can see that.
So it's fascinating. Now, of course, this is in conflict with something else called defensive pessimism, which is another very interesting and very good process. And that is the process of basically dwelling on everything that could possibly go wrong in a given event, and then figuring out exactly what you're going to do to prevent it, which sounds exactly like what the Stoic would do. But the Stoic would do it on maybe bigger things or way more out there. But come to think of it, it does sound far too similar, which makes it a good thing. So, yeah, never mind. I could adapt defensive pessimism right on in. Because if I'm meditating on some kind of a loss and I'm thinking about I have to give a speech tomorrow, then all of a sudden it's like, well, what am I going to do if the PA system doesn't work? What am I going to do if the lights go out? Mm. What am I going to do if I forget everything? Well, okay, if I forget everything, I'm going to have big giant note cards that give me enough hints at what I need to say, or I'm going to rehearse it 10 million times, or. And you start planning your way out of this hole, basically.
Is that, for example, is that the same as this? Right after high school, I had a friend who went to another country that's famous for kidnappings.
Oh, dear.
And so she one night thought to herself, what would I do while I'm sleeping if an intruder comes in? What would I do? So she said to herself, I'll probably play like I'm still asleep so they can take whatever they want and leave. Right?
Right.
And that night, that same thing happened.
Whoa.
Except the thief was like forcing her to wake up and show her where the stuff was.
Oh, dear.
But in a way, she was preparing herself for it. So you're not in shock?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Is it the same as an athlete going through the motions before they happen? Like, I'm going to turn left here. You visualize yourself skiing down the mountain and seeing the obstacles and like this, I'm going to turn this way, that way, that way. But then you're seeing yourself hitting.
I think the other key thing is that with negative virtualization is at some point it stops and you tell your brain to stop.
And it stops?
And it stops.
Because it...
The Stoics would have you believe it stops. And that's probably the most attractive part about it.
I don't know. Do you think we can do that these days? It just feels like more and more people. Or maybe I'll speak for myself. I can't get it to stop because once I start, once I start a vision... Mm-hmm. That's negative. That's scary. It's on a loop.
Well, didn't you talk about how it's important to live inside of a negative feeling for some number?
90 seconds.
For 90 seconds?
90 seconds.
And let it pass through you?
Right.
How would the Stoics feel about that?
I don't know. How would they, Matt?
I don't know. But I'll tell you, when I was a teenager and later, I used to perform an exercise where I would take And I would say, okay, I'm going to think about this thing for 30 seconds and then I'm going to stop. And it was always something negative. And I would think about it for 30 seconds and I would stop and that would be that.
Okay.
So I think I need to practice because it's been a while since I've been able to do that, but I think I need to.
Can you choose, would the Stoics say, can you choose when you're done thinking about it? Like, yeah, I see this boulder that's going to crash on my head. I choose to live a life where my head is safe. Can I do that? Like, after the visualization, mm-hmm. after the negative visualization, can we say, I choose this?
Well, I would say that all the original Stoics are dead, so you can do whatever you want.
No, I'm just saying, what do you think they would say? And, you know, I would think they would say,
live in gratitude that the boulder never crashed.
Which is the same as I choose. But then isn't that also bringing it in? That
is it
never crashed on a spirit level. You're still focusing on a crash, right?
Stoics would say no, because you're not focusing anymore. That's the trick. You stop focusing.
There's no charge on it anymore.
Exactly. That's the point.
So you're taking the charge away.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's like you're shuffling your feet on a carpet.
On the carpet. And then, ding. Yeah.
So now the charge is gone, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Right.
Until you start walking again. Right. Can you just get rubber boots? Would that help?
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure you'd make a good Stoic,
like this.
Babe.
No, I'm not Stoic. What about me is Stoic at all? This is horrible. I'm more confused than ever. Thanks, honey.
So if anybody can help straighten my wife out, please.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
As far as like explaining it better than I can, because I've done about as good of a job as I think I can.
You just sounded very 1940s or 50s, whenever it was that the men took the little wives and put them into the insane asylums for just having a period or something. Is that what's happening?
No, I'm sorry, babe.
Watch yourself.
I'm sorry, babe.
Yeah, you better be sorry.
Okay.
God. Anyway. Matt's crying. I don't know. Stop. He's showing me his tears, like with his finger. Stop.
Our youngest does that.
Yeah. You know how they do? Maybe we should do video, but like they take their index finger and they run it down from their eye to their cheek, meaning I'm crying.
Yes.
All right. Great. What a happy.
Yay.
Happy.
Stop. Feel gratitude for all the good stuff and want what you have.
What if you don't like what you have?
Then why do you have it? If it doesn't bring you joy, right?
You didn't
That's
ask
what
right.
What's Her Face would say. You know, only keep the things that give you joy. The rearranged lady.
Maybe because you didn't choose. Maybe you are sleepwalking and you're kind of going through life living in betrayal of yourself and not following your heart, your dreams. You know, maybe you're just settling.
Well, I guess maybe.
Maybe this stuff is no longer serving you and you shouldn't have it anymore.
And
so
there you go.
You can focus on what you do want. When bad things happen, when you lose a job, focus on what you do want. Rather than focusing on loss.
And again, I would say I'm not in the mood to take that particular example, but we lose internet once in a while here, often enough to be annoying. And I remember going through the thought exercise of, and that's what I called it. I didn't call it negative virtualization. I just called it a visualization. I just said the thought exercise of what would I do if I lost internet? And the answer I came to was, as quickly as possible, make my way to the public library because they always seem to have internet.
Right.
But now I'm thinking I want to try going to our bank, which offers free Wi-Fi and stuff.
Yeah, but what if a robber comes in? Then you're stuck in that.
Like, then I am stuck in that.
No, thank you.
Anyways.
A coffee shop would be better.
So again, the thought exercise.
Uh, okay, I feel like I've exercised enough every day, all day, every day.
And that's, I need a break. It. You exercise for a fixed period of time.
Yeah, tell my mind that.
Okay. Mind, I tell you.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, Matt. I don't even want to. I don't know. I mean, I understand the 90-second rule. Mm-hmm. For sure, I get that. I don't know.
This isn't that different.
It doesn't vibe with me, but maybe it will later. I don't know.
We have to find Persian philosophers.
I must say that to focus on the negative doesn't put you in a state of shock if something does happen. So you're more able to take care of things and like move on and not be devastated.
Very stoic of you.
So I often think of your death.
Oh. Oh dear.
No, just because it already almost happened. So, but I'm in it every day. I can't stop thinking about it.
Okay.
And I wish I could just live happily. And I don't think this causes people to live happily. You're disagreeing with me.
Maybe it does. But I have all the same old arguments. I just have to trot them out again. So.
Yeah. No, I know. Those same arguments came through my head as I just said what I said.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving it some time and then it stops.
Yes.
It's like a child that's fed. It's not whining at you anymore. Or, you know, you give it attention. You give something attention that's been craving attention.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, all right, here you go. I hear you. Much like friendship, you know, the worst thing is to ignore each other.
Right.
And not acknowledge each other's existence, right?
Right. So, and to not acknowledge maybe the stuff they're going through and not sharing the stuff that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll okay. See. Is this how you live, Matt?
I have more in common with the Stoics than I realized. They like the onion too.
What do you mean?
As far as I talk about like my personal philosophy, which now seems to be being co-opted 2,000 years ago. But like, you know, at the raw core center is just me. Like I am basically. And then there's layers out to the things I care about, like my family. And the Stoics believe the same thing.
Okay, the onion thing, it's still an onion. The outer core is the onion. The outer is the same as the inner.
Wow, that's a very Zen way of putting it. But this is actually differentiating between. And, you know, there's a place that only I can go. But anyways, beside the point.
Another talk. Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, once again, if you all need to talk to us, which at this point, I don't know why you want to talk to me. I feel so negative right now. But we're here for you. We're here for you anytime. Please reach out to us. We'll talk to you in just a few days. If you need us before then, you know where we are. All right. Be well. Have a beautiful every day.
Have fun.